So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ram Gadhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhuji is coming regularly on in the mid-morning class. But today we are very fortunate that He is to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yeah, Mataji, I'm present.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association. Now I would like to hand over the call to you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Text Number 38. This is the topic, Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. Jivasya samsrutir bhavair avidya karma nirmita yashvanga pravishan atma Naveda Gatimatmana. Translation: there are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Purport: once one enters into the continuation of material existence, it is very difficult to get out. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes Himself or sends His bona fide representative, and He leaves behind scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so that the living entities hovering in darkness of nascence may take advantage of the instructions, the saintly persons and the spiritual masters, and thus be freed. Unless the living entity receives the mercy of the saintly persons, the spiritual master, Krishna
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we cannot hear you.
Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jivasya samsrutir bhavair avidya karma nirmita yashvanga pravishan atma naveda gatimatmanaha. Translation: there are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. So, first of all, thank you so much for engaging me in this service of sharing some realizations from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful narrations which will help us purify our consciousness. So this particular context, the 32nd chapter, is the fag end of Kapila Dev's instructions to Mother Devahuti. And Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna personified, and it is explained that all the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam represents different portions of the Lord's body. The first canto and second canto refers to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Third canto refers to the thighs, or the, you know, lower abdomen portion of the Supreme Lord. And further different cantos refers different aspects of Supreme Lord's body. So by we associating ourselves with Srimad Bhagavatam, we are definitely elevating our consciousness from materialistic consciousness to spiritual consciousness. So Kapila Dev is explaining, and from the next verse onwards, Lord Kapila Dev is also going to explain for whom all this knowledge is not revealed. So before he is going to explain that, he is giving a very important message of letting us know that we need to come out of ignorance or forgetfulness of our real identity. Unless we come out of that, we will continue to remain in the vicious circle of this material world. In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained that those who don't have any Shraddha into this process of Krishna consciousness, Ashraddha Dhanaha Purusha Dharmasyasya Paramtapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Krishna is telling Arjuna, if somebody is not responsible enough and not having Shraddha in this process of Krishna consciousness, he will go around in circle in this material world. Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. He will go on taking birth again and again in this material world. And hence, Krishna is encouraging that we should put our entire Shraddha into this process of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Shraddha for us to practice Krishna consciousness cannot come by our own endeavor. We are dependent on the mercy of Vaishnavas, and we are dependent by the mercy of Supreme Lord, who gives us literatures as well as saintly persons association. So in our today's discussion, we are going to have some set of reflections. We are going to learn some set of lessons to expedite as well as to make sure that we don't fall trap into this process of forgetfulness and ignorance. Srila Prabhupada had been very kind enough in giving us this wonderful knowledge, has spent so many sleepless nights, or has spent so much of his time in giving the transcendental knowledge to us, so that we can elevate our consciousness from materialistic consciousness to the spiritual one. So, we are going to have three sets of reflections today to understand this particular purport. As a part of three sets of reflections, we will also learn that what do we do and what are all our checkpoints to make sure that I am not falling trap to this ignorance or forgetfulness. Before we get on to this reflection, I would like to share Sanatana Goswami's prayer on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami has written a prayer on Srimad Bhagavatam called Bhagavata Mahima Stotra. In that Bhagavata Mahima Stotra, it is a 5 shloka of that particular compilation. He says, Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha, Sarva Vedaika Satfala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. In that he says, how Srimad Bhagavatam is the nectar of all the Vedic literature, Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha. The reason I am going to explain this particular shloka of Sanatana Goswami is because Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that Supreme Lord comes himself or sends his bona fide representative and leaves behind scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam that is left behind us by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord with the help of Vyasadeva, Naradamuni and Sukadeva Goswami and the Acharyas, it has to be perceived, has to be accepted in the right frame of mind. And to help, Sanatana Goswami is compiling this Bhagavata Mahima Stotra. Maybe after this call is over, I can share that prayer of Bhagavata Mahima Stotra. Over here in our sessions in Bombay, whenever we start Bhagavatam class, we chant this prayer. Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, who is no more, whenever he used to start his Bhagavatam classes most of the time, he used to chant this verses called Bhagavata Mahima Stotra. This is a very good stotra for all of you to memorize, for us to reflect on what Srimad Bhagavata means to us. I will not go into all the purports or translations of each of the shloka, but at least it is important because it is reflecting to the same point that Srila Prabhupada is writing in this purport. So Sanatana Goswami is saying, Sarva Sastrabdi Piyusha. Bhagavatam is, Piyusha means nectar. Srimad Bhagavatam is nectar of all the Shastras. Sarva Vedaika Satfala. This is special fruit of all the Vedas. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya. This is Ratna of all the Siddhanta. Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. Drikprada means people are lost without any direction. And this Srimad Bhagavatam shows the direction for people of this material world. Sarva Bhagavata Prana. This Srimad Bhagavatam is Prana, is life of all the Bhagavatas. Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu. You know, Sanatana Goswami is referring to my dear Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu. Kali Dhvanto Dita Ditya. This Srimad Bhagavatam can uproot the evil effects of Kali. Sri Krishna Parivartita. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna personified. So, Sanatana Goswami, while explaining this, he says how the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us direction, how the Srimad Bhagavatam is helping us this from the evil effects of Kali Yuga, and how the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna only. So, in our endeavor to read Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not an intellectual treatise. It is not some scholarly endeavor. This is purely devotional service. And our agenda is to hear Srimad Bhagavatam so that we come out of our ignorance and forgetfulness of our real identity, without which, Kapila Devi is explaining, a living entity cannot have any movement out of this material world. And since all of us have by now realized that this material world is a dangerous, vicious place, hence we need to make sure somehow or other we try to make a movement out of this. For that, at least we should be getting rid of a basic ignorance and forgetfulness of our real identity. Further, Sanatana Goswami explained that how we should treat Srimad Bhagavatam as Madeka Bando Mat Sangim Mat Guru Man Mahadanaha Man Nishtaraka Mad Bhagya Madananda Namostute. So he explains, Madeka Bando, I have only one friend. Mat Sangim, only one companion. Mat Guru, my spiritual master. Man Mahadanaha, my greatest wealth. Man Nishtaraka, my greatest conviction. Mat Bhagya, my greatest fortune. Mad Ananda, my greatest bliss. Is Srimad Bhagavatam. So he says, Mad Eka Bandhu, I have one only friend. Mat Sangim, companion. Mat Guru, spiritual master. Man Mahadana, my greatest wealth. Man Nishtaraka, my greatest conviction. Mad Bhagya, my greatest fortune. Mad Ananda, my greatest bliss. Everything is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami is referring to Srimad Bhagavatam. It is not a sentimental emotions of him, because Srimad Bhagavatam provides all the six things that he just listed. So to support Srila Prabhupada's point on the purport, how Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna personified, or Krishna helps us by progressing in Krishna consciousness or coming out of our ignorance by coming in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam. So with this background, I would like to go into the three sets of reflection that will help us churn this purport to further deeper level. Our first reflection is a set of a flow chart. What happens from the time we hear about the Lord, from the lips of a pure devotee, from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and what all as a sequential step that happens in somebody's heart till we get to see Krishna. So this flowchart is very nicely explained. This is from various analysis from Nectar of Devotion and few other purports of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So this flowchart is actually a very logical and very sequential flowchart. May not necessarily be exhaustive enough, but it helps us from the time when somebody gives sincere, attentive hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, what all transformation that happened in a person. And this flowchart will also help us realize how important for us to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide source in an attentive manner consistently. So all the four points are important. We need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to hear from a bona fide source. We need to hear attentively, and this should happen consistently. Any one of them, if it is eliminated, then we are delaying the whole process. If we hear from a bona fide source consistently and attentively, but not Srimad Bhagavatam, it's something else. This is also generally, if it's a bona fide source, it will be around Srimad Bhagavatam. But we need to make sure that we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, only from a bona fide source and not from any place and every other place. In the first canto, first chapter, 10th shloka, it is very nicely explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prayena alpa ayusha sabya kalavasmin yuke jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadrataha. It is very nicely explained, and I always use this acronym called SLMUD. SLMUD is this particular shloka's abbreviation. What is SLMUD all about? S for short-lived, L for lazy, M for misguided, U for unfortunate, D for disturbed. That's what this shloka. Prayena alpa ayusha, short-lived. Kalavasmin yuge jana, mandaha, lazy. Sumandaha, misguided. Mandabhagya, unfortunate. Upadradaha, disturbed. So this is Kali Yuga. And when somebody falls inside this mud is a quicksand. When somebody falls inside this quicksand, which is all of us, the only way a person who falls into the quicksand can rescue is, he can raise his hand and just shout for a help. If somebody puts both his legs inside a quicksand, he can't do anything himself.
he can't save himself out. He cannot use any of his intelligence. All his money, all his contacts, all the resources, all the intelligence, all the strength, all the beauty, everything that he possessed up till this point in time will be mere waste, because quicksand is going to suck him out. That mud, that quicksand is going to, you know, eat up his life. And the only thing that he can do is just raise both his hands, wave his hand for help, and if somebody hears him, they can pull him out of this quicksand. That is exactly what Srila Prabhupada writes. Unless the living entity receives the mercy of the saintly persons, the spiritual master or Krishna, it is not possible for him to get out of the darkness of material existence by his own endeavor. It is not possible. Bilvamangala Thakura is very nicely explaining this point in Govinda Damodara Stotram. He says, Samsara kupe patito tyagade mohanda purne vishayabitapte karavalambam mamadehi vishno govinda damodara madaveti. He says, Samsara kupe patito tyagade. He says, this samsara, this material world, is like a dark well. It's a deep, dark well. Mohanda purne vishayabi tapte. All the activities in this world are predominated with lust, greed, anger, envy, pride, ego, illusion. It is like a, you know, dark well. It is like a quicksand. Once somebody is into that, he can't help himself out. So the only thing what I can do, my dear Lord, he says, karavalambam mama dehi vishno. Since I can't help myself, my dear Lord, what I am saying is, I am sticking my hand out. Karavalambam mama dehi vishno. I am sticking my hand out and shouting, hey my dear Krishna, hey my dear Vishnu, please pull me out. Govinda damodara madaveti. That is why whenever we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in our temples, we raise our hand up. We definitely understand by raising our hands up, we express our surrender. But we also need to understand by raising our hand up, we should also remember that I am inside the quicksand. I am sticking out my hand so that Krishna or my spiritual master or some saintly person and seeking their help and asking them to pull us out. That is why when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what do we chant? My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. I am giving both of my hands. Please pull me out and engage me in the service. Otherwise, I will be suffering in this material existence because of this ignorance and forgetfulness of my identity. So it is extremely important to understand that we are by ourselves, by design, by our conditional situation inside a quicksand, and that's what Kapila Devi is explaining. So our first reflection hence going to be that what happens when we hear about the Lord from a bona fide spiritual master, from a bona fide source in an attentive way, and we do this consistently. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So I'll read this flowchart. Maybe we may not be able to elaborate each and every component of this flowchart, but at least this will give you an overview what all should have happened. If this flowchart, if any stage has not happened to us, probably we may have to reflect back and try to work on the previous stage and to go move forward to somehow or other, make our devotional life moving. So the first thing is, Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. So first is to hear attentively, consistently from a bona fide source. And it is said, if somebody does this, if somebody hears them attentively, consistently from a bona fide source, then one of the immediate, or not the immediate, if they have been doing it for a while, what should naturally happen is a tendency or an understanding about Brahma Bhuta, or na sochati na kankshati, no hankering or no lamentation from mentality starts popping out. We start to develop previously what we would have otherwise been conscious of, previously what we would have been lamenting about, previously what we would be worried about. After hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the propensity, the intensity reduces, and slowly the spirit soul move towards the stage of na sochati na kankshati, neither hankering nor lamentation. Our hankering reduces, our lamentation reduces. So the more we hear, what happens as a first reaction is our hankering for material life and our lamentation for materialistic needs, or you know, loss of materialistic things, gets reduced. If it gets reduced, what's the next immediate reaction? The third stage is greediness and lust start to vanish. When greediness and lust start to vanish, and when we consistently hear Srimad Bhagavatam attentively, what happens? The immediate reaction is attachment to the service of the Lord happens in our life. We would have been doing some service prior to this, but when we have been doing this hearing attentively, consciously, consistently from a bona fide source, then we develop attachment to the service of the Lord. And when we get attachment to the service of the Lord, what happens is that we get free from the contamination of materialistic attachment. In the sense, initially whatever had gone, superficial things had gone, but still we still have some traces of materialistic contamination. We get freed from that, from the sense of our attachment, from the sense of identifying them with us, from the sense of attaching them to our own selves, thinking as it's I, me, mine. And the next stage is we develop understanding the transcendental qualities of the Lord. When we start to understand the transcendental qualities of the Lord and start to appreciate the transcendental qualities of the Lord, we get firmly fixed to work and fight for glorifying the Lord, and we don't have any other focus. And when we do this and keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide source attentively and consistently, Krishna reveals himself to that personality. This is acknowledged by Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction preface. Srila Prabhupada says, when we get rid of our sense gratificatory propensity and when we control our mind, Krishna gives all the intelligence by which we can go to him. Krishna reveals himself to such a personality. So the flowchart is from hearing to revealing of Krishna. These are the seven stages. Number one, we hear. Number two, we start naturally getting detached. No, na sochati, na kankshati. May not be fully, but slowly we get to see a symptom that our material hankering and material lamentation is reducing, and which leads to greed and lust vanishing, which leads to attachment to the service of the Lord, which leads to free from contamination of material attachment, which further leads to understanding the transcendental qualities of the Lord, which further leads to firmly fixed to work and fight for glorifying the Lord and no other focus. And to such a person, the person who is called Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, to that person, Krishna starts to reveal himself. For us to see Krishna, it is not our prerogative. It is Krishna's prerogative, whom he wants to, you know, show himself, whom he wants to hide himself. So Krishna reveals himself to such a person who has heard from a bona fide source and gone through these stages of transformation. So our first reflection in today's class is that if at all we wanted to progress in Krishna consciousness and come out of our ignorance and forgetfulness of our identity, we need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide source, and that eventually, as a stage-wise, we will be able to see Krishna face to face. This is our first reflection. Second reflection is also a set of 6 points. Is for us to do this, Okay, we understood, Prabhu. This is very clear that definitely, yes, we need to make sure that we, give attentive hearing. But for us to do attentive hearing, for us to do consciously, consistently do this, we need to have some primary characteristics and quality. The primary characteristics and quality that we need, because especially we as a congregation devotee, we as a practicing devotee, we have been associated with Krishna consciousness process for a while. We know Krishna consciousness, we heard about so many lectures, we have been to Sadhu Sangha, we have been to so many things that we have done so far, but the necessary transformation that we should have otherwise have got has not yet happened, and we keep wondering what's wrong in that. Once it so happened that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's disciples, they decided to send one of their god brothers to London. This is much before ISKCON movement was started. So this is, you can read this episode in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's disciples, they decided that our Guru Maharaj wanted this Krishna consciousness to be spread all over the world. So they decided, let them identify one of the best preachers and send him to London. In those days, they had a lot of challenges in raising funds. Even today, some temples have them. But somehow they pulled in all their resources and funded a particular devotee, a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Sannyasi. They funded him to be in London and establish Krishna consciousness. They funded him for a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years, I'm not sure exactly. So after spending so much of money, every month they used to send money to him for his maintenance and preaching and travel overseas. So nothing has happened, not even one person became devotee. So this person came back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And he came back and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and said, "My dear Guru Maharaj, there is something wrong in your instructions. You need to adjust your instructions in such a way to suit the Western audience." So he came and told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj that there is something wrong in what he is teaching, because I tried for 4 years, but it's not working. It's not happening. So which means there might be something wrong in what we are preaching. So hence we might need to slightly revisit our instructions and processes so that Western audience can accept this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj was so disheartened. Of course, the episode is furthermore detailed and deeper. But the point here is what the second reflection is all about. That we as practitioners, we have a very strong conviction that this Krishna consciousness process received through the chain of disciplic succession is a perfect, flawless, ultimate solution for our transformation. And if something is not happening, there is something wrong within me. So hence, the second reflection is about our self-honesty. I am going to talk about five layers of honesty. Honesty has got five gradations. And we need to at least, as sadhakas, fix our honesty, self-honesty in our spiritual life or personal life, so that we will be able to take advantage of this process and not get colored by our so-called materialistic intelligence. Our educational system, unfortunately, is not so supportive enough for self-realization. Rather, it is supportive for understanding how I have gained, how I have got, the knowledge that I am supposed to possess, that I am possessing, is great. So the intent is that this honesty principle that we are talking about is something that will help us as sadhakas to reflect within ourselves. So the second point or second reflection in this particular shloka or the class is, for us to get rid of our ignorance and our identity, we need to be self-honest. We need to be conscious. And I used to always give this formula of honest, guided, introspection, H-G-I. Srila Prabhupada is referring the same point over here in the purport. He says that if somebody wants to, you know, transform from material existence, he need to take the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master or a bona fide representative. Which means, to that bona fide representative, if we don't confess honestly, and if we don't take his guidance, and if we don't introspect on the guidance given, then probably it will be too difficult for us to comprehend this. We might be associated with this movement, but this is the secret of tapping to the real solution. So the second reflection is going to be about five different stages of honesty. Of that, the first three stages of honesty is something to be rejected. But the reason I'm going to still talk about that is, such honesties are very prevalent in our sanghas, in our so-called materialistic world, and we should not get carried away by such honesty. I'll tell about those honesties. So the level one of honesty, or the least one, is we are honest only by words, and there is no honesty in action or attitude, called lip service. The reason I'm talking about this is the very next verse. Kapiladeva is going to talk about such characteristic features to whom this Krishna consciousness cannot be taught. So these points will help you as a prelude to understand those verses. So number one is the first level of honesty, which is to be rejected, is honesty only by words, but not in action and not in attitude. We call that honesty as hypocrite, because this hypocrisy is, we talk all wonderful things externally, but within us, it's all dirty mind. So this honesty of being externally nice and sweeter, but internally not cleaner and having right attitude, to be rejected. And the second level of honesty is about honest amongst dishonest people. Prabhupada always refers this example. A group of thieves, they steal from different houses. They cheat different people. They swindle from different sources. And they finally come together. And what they say? Let us honestly divide amongst ourselves. So this honesty of thieves and rogues, where I do all sorts of nasty things outside, but when I'm sitting together, I say, let us honestly divide amongst ourselves. Such honesty should also be rejected. We have materialistic people who have this propensity as well. Actually, they are. If you know their behaviors, you will know that these people are definitely honest when they come to the transactions. We know a lot of businessmen and jewelers and different types of category of people in India, where they do lots of malpractices when they come to their transaction with customers. But when they deal amongst themselves, they are very, very honest amongst their transaction, because if they remain dishonest amongst themselves, all of them will cease to exist, because one person will kill the other, or one person will, you know, dig a hole for the other person to bury. So they need to have utmost level of honesty, but that honesty is also another level of hypocrisy, and that is completely disastrous for a devotional life. The third level of honesty is about duplicity. Honestly only to very limited and conditional. When the condition changes, we immediately become dishonest. For example, I will remain truthful and honest so long as I am getting benefit. I will remain honest and truthful so long as I have got some, you know, advantage. The moment I am getting disadvantage, the moment I am getting trouble, then I tend to become dishonest in that relationships. Krishna was very kind, loving, caring towards all the Vrindavan Vasis. But Vrindavan Vasis' love, dependency and care for Krishna continued even after Krishna ditched them, deceived them externally and went to Mathura and Dwaraka. So their love for Krishna were unconditional. So the third level of honesty that is rejected is about conditional honesty, that I will remain honest, truthful to this relationship so long as I am benefited. This we can see pretty much in today's marriage life. So long as the husband and wife, they get benefit from each other, the relationship is together. The moment one person feels that the other person is quote-unquote exploiting, then the relationship strains. But in a spiritual relationship, there is no concept of exploitation. Both the party yearn and long to serve each other, and hence this third level of honesty is also rejected. As I said, this is just for information and knowledge purpose, that we should not use the word honesty in a very cheap manner, because in a Vaishnava relationship, honesty is something very, very important for him to progress in his devotional life, especially when it comes to self-honesty. The more we are self-honest to ourselves, and with that honesty, if we take guidance from a bona fide source, and with that guidance, we try to introspect within ourselves, then our spiritual life is definitely going to bloom and blossom. Okay? The fourth level of honesty, which is better, which is part of our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, is our honesty is limited by rules, sadhana, and whatever level of trust and surrender that we have gained towards bona fide sources. This is at least the beginning point. This is this shraddha, this trust, this faith, this honesty is something that is to be at least inculcated to begin with. This is also conditional, but this conditional is pretty much in terms of conditions laid out by Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. If somebody is performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, he is trying to be truthful to keep up his initiation vows, try to truthful the services, executing the services. He might not be self-motivated, but when he is motivated by somebody else, he is ready to work under that authority. So there is some amount of surrender, there is some amount of dependency that is built in. And Rupa Goswami talks about this honesty as Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, where you are committed to the rules and you are attached to the rules, may not have developed the natural devotion, but that's the beginning stage. And the last stage of honesty that is expected is honesty by action and as well as by our consciousness, as well as by our directions and goals, and we are completely freed from all sorts of external arrangements for being honest. So this is a natural way of expressing ourselves to the Supreme Lord and Vaishnavas. And at this stage of honesty, our humility level is very, very high. Because at this stage, we try to actually identify how unfortunate, how imperfect, how insignificant we are, and how the other Vaishnava is very nice, and without his help, we won't be able to make a progress. So the reason I'm explaining this point of honesty is to understand that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, especially in Kali Yuga, which is about SL mud, we need to be careful that we are all part of this SL mud characteristics. We are lazy, we are misguided, we are unfortunate, we are disturbed. At the same time, we have been bestowed with an helping hand who is ready to pull us out of the quicksand. And when somebody is ready to pull us out of the quicksand, we should be genuine enough to latch on to that help rather than challenging, rather than questioning, rather than trying to think that how you know I can help myself kind of propensity. So that's our second set of reflection, is that if at all I want to take advantage of the flow chart that we discussed, we need to learn our honest, guided introspection, which is our second principle. And a third principle, a third set of reflection that I want to speak about is how do I actually go ahead and doing this? Okay, I understood that by hearing, I will be able to, there's a flow, there's a set of transformations that will happen, and eventually I will see Krishna. And at the same time, by me having honest, guided introspection, I will be able to help myself come out of this ignorance and forgetfulness. Where do I begin?
where do I, you know, start my step, first step towards this journey? So for that, the third reflection will help us. The third reflection has got four parts. Part number one, this is the first step of applying what we want to do. So we heard so much, we analyzed so much, now we are interested in application. Because we always talk about, how do I apply what I heard? How do I apply what I heard? Whatever is being spoken about is making a lot of sense. Whatever I've been hearing for all these years definitely makes sense. But I fail when it comes to application. So how do I start? Where do I start applying? The first place where we start applying, or the first step of our application, is desire. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we need to have, Prabhupada uses the word called burning desire. It's just not desire. He says, each and every sadhaka should have a burning desire in his heart for progressing in Krishna consciousness. So desire, inculcating a desire within ourselves is something very important. As I said, each and every point that we discuss can be elaborated in detail, but at least as an overview, I was thinking that I'll cover up these points. So Krishna willing, in the future session, sometimes we can go over the details of them. So desire is our first step of application. If you ever want to apply what you heard, you start desiring. Start strongly desiring without any motives. So at least develop a desire. This is applicable even for the materialistic things. If I want to buy something, if I want to travel something, if I want to, you know, approach somebody, I first develop a desire. So over here also, for Krishna consciousness, we need to have a sincere desire to be Krishna conscious. So if we know the previous, if you understood the previous reflection of honesty, if I am honestly desiring to serve the Lord, then we are in. And rest of the process will take us forward. The second step for application is, along with the desire, we need to develop a sense of prayerful mood. So this prayer has got a very interesting phenomena. 8th canto, 3rd chapter, verse number 1. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. This is about Gajendra Moksha. Srila Prabhupada says that actually Raja Indradyumna is now an elephant. After so much of struggle with the crocodile, the elephant suddenly remembered the prayer that Gajendra in his previous life as Indradyumna used to chant. And because of chanting that prayer, Krishna appeared, and rest is the history. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that we encourage all our practitioners to learn some prayers, so that even if they imperfectly chant those prayers, but if they inculcate as a daily habit, I'm just paraphrasing what Prabhupada has written, if they inculcate this habit of chanting these prayers on a daily basis, even if they happen to take birth as an animal in his next life, this prayer will rescue them. It's a very powerful statement. Prabhupada elsewhere says that if somebody is part of this Krishna consciousness process, definitely they will move forward and they will get next life as a Brahmana or aristocratic family, and eventually they make it. But Prabhupada is making a very important statement that even apparently we happen to take birth as an animal in our next life, we will be able to rescue ourselves if we practice these prayers. So prayers are very, very powerful. Definitely we can request so many other devotees to pray for us, but it is extremely important that we should pray for ourselves, for the desires that we desired. Today we pray for our needs. Today we pray for our requirements. Today we pray for our challenges. Today we pray for our struggles. But we need to pray for developing love towards Krishna without any motives of our materialistic needs. So prayer is our second step of application, and the prayer has got three components. One is, we need to pray detachedly. Just because we prayed, it is not a prerogative for the Lord to give. And we should pray with conviction, because Krishna is definitely hearing our prayer. In spite of we heard our prayer, if we did not sanction it, that's what the Lord wants it to be. So we pray with conviction. And third is, we should pray with patience. And this is something that we can learn from Advaitacharya. Because Advaitacharya prayed to Lord Vishnu. He was feeling sorry for all the people suffering in this Kali Yuga. So he prayed. He prayed with detachment. He prayed with conviction.
and he also prayed with a lot of patience. He knew that I am praying and definitely Krishna is hearing and Krishna will sanction what he wants to sanction. Aslishyava padaratam pinashtuma adarshanat marmatam karotuva. So once we do this desiring and praying, then this goes to the third step, which is what Prabhupada has written, that with this prayerful mood, with this desire, when we associate with devotees, bona fide devotees, and we will, in that association, learn from their experience, evaluate our Krishna consciousness by their association, get educated on how to do certain things, and we will be able to empathize, understand the mood of the devotee in which they are serving their spiritual masters, and by we inculcating that mood, we will be able to make some progress. So this experiencing, evaluating, educating, and empathizing in the association of devotees is going to make our application immediately practical. And our last part of application is about whatever we learned and experienced, we need to constantly reflect on. So this reflecting upon is an everyday agenda. If we don't reflect upon, if we don't constantly introspect on our progress of Krishna consciousness, our Krishna consciousness will remain superficial. Those who are reflecting, they will be able to make a necessary progress. So this is the third reflection that we have. So to summarize our class today, Kali Yuga is like a quicksand. We discussed about this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this quicksand can be, a person who has put his legs in the quicksand can be saved only with the help of others, which is what Srila Prabhupada spoke about. And we spoke about three sets of reflection. The first one is a flowchart about how when somebody starts hearing about Krishna, he gets rid of all the propensities, materialistic propensities, getting rid of his attachment, and eventually Krishna reveals to such person. And to do that, we need to have some amount of self-honesty, and with honest, guided introspection, we can make some progress. We spoke five different stages of honesty. And last but not least, to be honest and to start applying what we're hearing, we spoke four steps, which is desire, prayer, associate, and reflect. So with this, I end my discussion here and open up for any questions or comments. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. As usual, your classes are always very instructive. And thank you so much for coming for Srimad Bhagavatam class and giving us this much nectar and the instructions of Sanatan Goswami. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful and instructive classes. Prabhuji, you are chanting a shloka that ends with Govinda Damo Dareti. Where is that from, Prabhu?
That's called Govinda Damo Dharastotra by Bilva Mangala Thakur. It's totally 72 shlokas. It's a very nice composition by Bilva Mangala Thakur.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was very, very nice.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble appreciations. Prabhuji, you mentioned about, you know, when, I think in the context of honesty, so when somebody is trying to pull you out of this misery, you had to be honestly, you know, there are so many helping hands, but you had to be sincere and, you know, hold on to the hand. The question typically comes is that, you know, whom we can trust here? I mean, obviously you meant a spiritual master here, but there are times, confusing times when there are so many people offering help. So how do we understand that? You know, whom to trust?
Very
very interesting question, and it's definitely a challenge or a practical situation that devotees around the world face. My personal realization is this. My personal realization is that if somebody has a very strong, honest desire, and when somebody is personally praying to Krishna for help, then it's absolutely confidently somebody can say that they will never be misguided. Even if somebody is seemingly, you know, put through a challenging route, probably we should accept that as Krishna's arrangement to us. Having said this, we need to also be, Krishna writes in Bhagavad Gita, a sincere practitioner is the one who should not exploit others, and who should not be exploited. So by we talking about surrender and honesty and not trying to challenge, we are not eliminating our using of intelligence. Krishna is not definitely expecting us to be honest fools. Neither Krishna is expecting us to be very intelligent, smart, outsmarting person. So we need to have a definitely balancing about it. This quality of desire and prayer, if we are sincere enough, my strong experience is that you will not be reaching to a wrong destination or a wrong person. And even if you apparently bump onto a wrong guy, probably that is what Krishna wants you to experience to learn some lessons to your life. In the last 4 days, we have been hearing in Bombay Juhu Radha Rasa Bihari Temple on the 40th year's celebration of Radha Rasa Bihari's installation. So wonderful realizations of all the Prabhupada disciples, and each of them were narrating how that their surrender to Prabhupada, how their attachment to Srila Prabhupada, they did not face any difficulty in difficulty. So there are many, many realizations that I learned. One of the things I said that they went through so many difficulties. Somebody went to jail, somebody was beaten up, somebody was slipped, somebody was so many with disease, the financial challenges, emotional, mental, whatever. And all of them, you know, we had around 50, 60 Prabhupada disciples, and 4 days, we had a big festival. And all of them were talking about the challenges, and when they spoke about at the end, they're wonderful. So what we say, generally Krishna consciousness is like a pregnant lady carrying the baby in the womb. If the pregnant lady does not have pain, there is a pain. So a pregnant lady should have a pain. If the baby kicks, if she has nausea, if she has vomiting, even though it is painful, that pain actually brings in a pleasure because she knows that baby is going to come out. Suppose somebody is pregnant and they never had nausea, they never had baby kicking in the stomach, they don't have anything, they are bindas, they are just going around, then they'll be freaking out, there is something wrong, there is no movement. So the pain that a pregnant lady receives, accepts and enjoys that challenge because she knew that after 9th month, the child is going to, or 10th month, the child is going to come out. So in the 6 principles of Sharanagati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that Rakshishyati Vishwaso Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshishyati Vishwaso. Be very strongly faithful that Krishna will not let you down. So Krishna will definitely not let you down, even if it apparently go through some bad apples around. So my personal realization is that if we follow this suggestions, this is a time-tested, foolproof, but don't expect a challenge-free Krishna conscious journey. Your Krishna conscious journey will have plenty of challenges. Krishna conscious journey will have plenty of surprises, plenty of wonderful or funny, weird experiences. But Krishna consciousness will definitely work, and you will see Krishna face to face if you stay grounded onto this process. So that's the conviction, and that's the confirmation the Supreme Lord gives. I'm not sure if I, you know, responded to the query to the point, but at least just try to, you know, help you out.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji. That was very nice. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Very nice example you have given right now, the pregnant lady. That is so true. And I also heard about all the 4 days program happening in the Jew temple. And it is so true, Prabhu, means, you know, in the beginning there was so much dedication. But now, means, what I was feeling that we don't have that much surrender or that much dedication. It used to be in the earlier days. So what is the reason, Prabhu, you know? Means?
The reason is social media, internet, smartphone. previously, they didn't have any of those things. The lives are much simple. People are dependent on people. Now people are dependent on technology. See, the biggest problem is technology has definitely helped us a lot, or actually also spoiled us a lot. Because of technology, now we are all talking. At the same time, because of technology, we are also not talking. So one of the things that I gained is that devotees used to cherish each other's association, come together and talk and spend time, and, you know, it's very practical. You see, nowadays children, they don't have your attention span. Sitting and hearing a Bhagavatam class for 1 hour is a challenge. Beyond 1 hour, already people are, you know, shaking and moving. But we hear that 7 days, 7 nights, you know, people used to sit and hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the previous year. So the difference is that we started to, they used to always funnily say, you are supposed to use things to love people. But because of our education system, we are using people to love things. So that's the difference. If you ask me, the core, the backbone of all these things is our education system. The education system that was, and I say education system, that's not only about the schooling system. This is also about the family situation, the way family had been structured. We used to have a concept of joint family. We used to have a concept of very accommodative, adaptive, upbringing. So now things all have got changed. Culturally, many things have got collapsed. And more so, we have taken shelter of technology than values. So I used to give this example of, we are affected by a disease called AIDS. It's called acquired inadequate devotional symptom. So, and that is because of high immoral values, HIV. So we have inadequate devotional symptom, that is because of our immoral values. We are subscribing to those values because everybody is portraying them, because everybody is talking about them. And we are not referring back to Vedic lifestyle, so that is the biggest challenge. Hence, ISKCON's services are very much needed, and I used to always tell my students that please, you know, raise your sleeves up. You are all going to become celebrities very soon, because to get a good-hearted, nice devotee who is caring and loving without any personal motive, to get such a person is going to become very, very, very rare. And the rarest people are becoming celebrities, and you will definitely be a celebrity very soon.
Yes, Prabhu, that is true. Yesterday only I was talking to one of my clients, and she was saying that 1-year-old boy, you know, he knows how to do the FaceTime. It was really kind of, you know, shocking to me. 1-year-old boy, so that is the technology.
And they cherish that. My child can operate FaceTime. I mean, that's the point. My friends and family sometimes they say, you know, my daughter can recognize this movie song. My son can recognize this car. My father, daughter can recognize this. But does he know who is Valmiki? Oh, he's a Pakistani. I mean, you don't even know who Valmiki is. You don't know what Mahabharata is, what Ramayana is. You don't even know those values. Your bedtime stories are no more Ramayana. Bedtime stories are no more Krishna. So many, many things have changed in our lifestyle in the terms of advancement. So we have to be blamed than anybody else.
Prabhuji, can I ask one question is not related with this one? It's with the, because I was reading yesterday, it's Bhagavad Gita, verse 12.11 and 12.12. So what is the difference between the Karam Phal Tyaga between 12.11 and 12.12? If you remember, if you are in US. So 12.11 renouncing the fruit of work with a good cause, but in because in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the Krishna is saying that fix your mind in 8, and in 9 he's saying that if you cannot fix your mind, then follow regulative principle and rules, and in 10th, if you cannot follow, then work for me, and in 11, if you cannot work for me, then renounce your result of work to me. And in 12, again, he's saying that, you know, that meditate, cultivate some knowledge, and then meditation, and then renounce of the work. So what is the difference between the renounce of the work in 11 and 12? So that is a question. So you can okay. You can give me later on, otherwise, answer.
And I'm up to you. I mean, if you have time, we can speak about it. If you want to take it offline, I can definitely respond to you offline as well. I'll give a quick response. See, if the way this 12th chapter should be, you know, analyzed is from verse number 6 all the way till verse number 12 is that bidirectional discussion. Bidirectional discussion means Krishna is telling what is highest and at least what is the least. And if you want to look at it from the other way around, if you want to begin somewhere, at least start from the least and go towards the highest. So this is a bidirectional. So Krishna is saying, if you can achieve this, if you can't do this, at least do this. If you can't do this, at least do this. Okay, that's the first understanding. Second point is when Krishna is explaining about this point on renunciation in verse number 11, he says, or verse number 12, he says, about basic renunciation of fruits of action. So he says that in the verse number 12, he's telling three things. Cultivation of knowledge, meditation, and renouncing the fruits of action. Three things he says. Knowledge, if better than knowledge is meditation, better than meditation is renunciation of fruits of action. This is about whatever activities you do. He's not even referring to devotional life. Any fruits, if you try to renounce or if you have not been attached, it's like a philanthropic mentality. You have a lot of philanthropers who need not be doing this for devotion. I construct orphanage, I construct, hospitals, whatever support activities. I am not doing this for devotional life, but it's a philanthropic. I'm renouncing the fruits of action. Krishna is acknowledging that also as some positive directional, movement. Then he's explaining about in the verse 12.10, if you cannot practice the regulation of yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you'll come to the perfect stage. So in that, in the 12.11, he says, if you're unable to work for me, give up all the results of your work. So here, all the results of your work is, Krishna is saying, you work for me, and if you can't work for me, you try to give up the results of your work, that if you are done as a whatever ashrama, whatever varna that we belong to. So you say that you please give that as an offering unto me. Or it's like, no, we say this, if you want to understand, you refer the verse karmanyeva adhikaraste. He said, we have all the authority to do the karma, but karma phala, the results, the fruits of that karma, you please give it as an offering unto me. Krishna is telling this Arjuna, you fight, but don't worry about the results. Whether it is success or failure, you work for me. You just offer it as the results of that work to me. So, did I make any sense in this response? Or if it's not clear, then probably offline I can explain you more.
Okay, Prabhu. I just want to go in a little bit more detail, but we can talk offline. No problem.
You can text me on my WhatsApp. I will definitely give you a response.
I have your number. Yes, I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna,
Prabhu.
Very nice explanation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. I think you explained it very nicely. In those, the sequence of verses in chapter 12, Krishna is giving the minimum denominator. You know, he says, if you cannot do this, then at least do this. If you cannot do this, then do this. It's just like, you know, we tell our children, if you cannot throw the trash out, at least put the trash in the bags. If you can't do this, at least put the trash in one side. I always take very simplistic examples. Similarly, Krishna is telling all of us that if you cannot do the devotional service, then at least do this. If you cannot do that even, then do this. So that's the essence of these few shlokas. And he explained it very nicely. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, I think I overshot by 20 minutes. Sorry for that. Thank you so much, and you know, looking forward sometime to serve you all.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Vancham Kaltaru Vishya Kapasindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Anant Koti Vaishnavandhi Ki Jai, Shri Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Grace Ram Gadhari Prabhu Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.